Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So excited for Gretchen to come and, like, declutter our office.
I know, but you know what she really wants to get her hands on is your house.
Oh my God, that's like my worst nightmare. That's so terrifying.
But you don't understand, for her, the more clutter, the better. She would love it.
Well, then my house is like her heaven.
Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Sarah Fain, a TV writer and producer living in LA, and with me is my high school friend and writing partner of 19 years, Liz.
That's me, Liz Craft. On this podcast, we talk about being writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
In this week's episode, there is a special guest here who's going to help us clear clutter in our office. You can probably imagine who that might be. And we're going to talk about how we deal with public criticism.
And finally, we've got a meeting Hollywood hack that's friendly to your feet. But first, Sarah, we've got to discuss, this is episode 100.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
What's funny about episode 100 is that in television land, episode 100 is like the holy grail.
Yes. You have like a gigantic party with hundreds of people, cakes. It's like a whole thing.
Very, very few shows ever make it to episode 100.
Yeah.
So when you reach it, it's like that is the height of being a television writer.
Yes.
And in fact, I don't like tattoos. I don't know if I have mentioned that on this podcast.
Once or twice.
I really don't like tattoos. But I said if the fix gets to episode 100, I will get a C, a Roman numeral C tattoo, because also it will stand for craft and for
100.
I don't know how big it's going to be, and I don't know where it's going to be. But should we get there, I will get that tattoo.
I can't tell you how much this makes me want to get to 100. But so we thought we would sort of take a look back, since this is episode 100 of Happier in Hollywood, to where we were 100 episodes ago for this show.
Yeah, we started in May 2017.
Uh-huh.
Brooke was our assistant. Now she has been a staff writer on The Fix, so she has come a long way.
We were working with Marcia on the first pilot we did together.
Yes.
We have done another pilot and made the pilot and made a show. This is huge.
Yes. And we now, Sarah, have a Facebook group with thousands of members. We had no Facebook group. We didn't even know what a Facebook was when we started this podcast.
Or how to make one. Now it's part of our lives every day. Of course, personally, both of my parents have died. Violet got into kindergarten. Let's move it to the positive place, which was huge for me.
Jack is almost in fourth grade, and
my
never-ending home renovation is basically done.
That is the most incredible thing, probably, of everything else. Like, that was like a daily thing.
Oh my
gosh. It's that's really awesome.
We still need to paint the whole inside of the house, but that'll happen soon.
We have expanded, and we're working on exploding.
That's right. Sarah, it's going to be really interesting to see where we are episode 200.
I know.
Hopefully we'll have multiple shows on the air.
I hope so.
And no one
else
will have died.
Everybody living multiple shows. Okay, let's do it.
Tell us what you are up to 100 episodes ago. What has changed in your life? We like to hear from you and what's going on.
So send us an email or a voice memo to happierinhollywood@gmail.com.
And Sarah, to celebrate 100 episodes, we have a special guest co-host.
Oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing.
Hello!
It's Gretchen Rubin!
Yes, I am so excited that I get to be here for your 100th episode. That's just such a huge milestone.
Yes. You are on your book tour promoting Outer Order, Inner Calm.
Yep.
In a little bit, we're going to adjourn to our office on the Disney lot.
Yes.
And you are going to help us clear clutter.
And I just want to say, there is no one more excited about this than me.
Oh, no, because I'm tremendously excited. This is like, because I get the contact high of clearing clutter, but it's not my stuff. So it's like all the fun and none of the emotional drain. But you're excited for it, too?
Oh, my God. Yes. No, it's like every day when I go in our office, I feel this like, it drives me crazy. It's so cluttered. I can't stand it. And then so I'm just like,
What's funny, though, is your house is not uncluttered.
Oh, my God. It drives me crazy at home,
too. Oh, it drives you crazy.
I'll come to your house.
I also hate it at home.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, boy. Careful. All right.
No, I would love to do
it. You're going to have to come to town for longer.
I would love to do it. I would love to. Elizabeth will tell you. It's like I'm rubbing my hands together with glee at the thought of tackling some clutter. So, but doing an office, I think, is really great because, again, it helps you get that focus and that energy. And when you have so much going on and you have people sharing an office like you guys do, a lot of people coming in and out, it's easy for things to get out of control, but then it's easier to keep up than to catch up. So we'll get you caught up and then you can enjoy that.
All right. When we come back, we will be at our office.
Dun, dun,
first
dun.
This break. There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. For instance, her first job was as a movie usher, and she would walk around with a flashlight and tell people to get their feet off the seat, and I just love hearing about it. Well, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother or your mom figure's life for years to come. And at the end, you get it all put together in a book. And I know I will be so happy to have that book on the shelf and be able to open it anytime I want and read a wonderful story about my mom.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, you'll save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/Hollywood. That's storyworth.com/Hollywood to save $10 on your first purchase.
Okay, Sarah and Gretchen, we're back. We are at the Disney lot, and it's time for From the Treadmill Desk of, in which we discuss what's most pressing in our work psyches. And this week, it's decluttering. But first of all, we also have to say that we're on our actual treadmills.
Like, for real?
Yes.
Our treadmill desk is from our treadmill desk.
Yes, for the first time ever. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
And Gretchen, you are going to help us transform our office. Should we step off the treadmill?
Yes, we will stop. Slowing down.
Almost fell.
All right.
Okay, so I'm looking around your office, and I have to say it's not as cluttered as I'd hoped it would be. You have two treadmills with a lot of stuff on the surfaces. You have sort of a coffee table, side tables, a little bookcase, and some stuff kind of around. And so in looking around, I see that there's kind of a lot of hand cream, like makeup bag, and it doesn't really have a place to go. So I'm looking at the bookcase. So let's begin by seeing what neat can go out of this little bookcase.
Okay, I have never even looked in here.
Okay, because I think this could be a good place like to put makeup bags, nail polish remover, all that kind of personal stuff, because this is kind of tucked out of the way. So it's not behind a cabinet, but it's not visible if somebody comes to visit your office.
Right.
So there's a lot of books here, which I think it's kind of like your professional life flashing before your eyes because they're related to old projects like Atlas of Fashion Designers is from
Model Woman, the pilot we did in New York a couple years ago.
And so are these books that you could give away?
Yeah, totally.
These are good books.
Give them away.
And then this book is
Blue Blood is about cops in New York. I think those are from our SHIELD days.
Yeah.
So that's like
now Crime Scene. Do you need this? Is this useful?
That's probably useful, but doesn't need to be in this office.
I'm going to be the one who says, if we need to know anything about crime scenes, we can look online.
Well, that's true.
And I actually don't think we need that book anymore.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Get rid of
it. Donate pile. Okay.
Also, it might be obsolete at this point.
Exactly. I'm usually the one who was like, we need that. We need that. Now I'm, nope.
I'm not doing that.
Sarah's turned over a new leaf.
I know.
She read your book.
That's right. Out of Order, Inner Calm.
Changed the living manifestation of the book.
Now, this Roget's Thesaurus, I mean, you look it up online, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Never use
okay. Can I just say, you have a paperback and hardback of The Happiness Project. Yes. What nice people.
Yes. But we want to keep those because we can always also give them as a gift.
Okay.
We
get. Yeah. And is this an important memento? It's the shield.
What is it?
I think spotlight.
It's a shield comic book.
Yeah.
We don't need that.
We have our memories.
The Tick, is that signed by Ben or is it just a copy of The Tick? Let's see.
Our friend created The Tick comic and TV show.
It is not signed by him or anything.
I want to give you gold star for already having a donate box started in your office. So that's really good because if anything comes in that you don't want. Okay. Now, what about these binders? Because you do have a big bookshelf in the conference room. So this could be because here's the thing. One of the things you want to think about is your active real estate and you want to protect your prime real estate. So if it's your clothes closet, you don't want to put costumes in there. Mm. And if it's your office, you want to have your office for things that you're actually needing and using, not the backup things that are just sort of like things that you need to have on hand, but that you only might consult every 6 months or you just need to keep for sort of whatever administrative reason.
Yeah. Here's a couple books we want to keep these, but they don't need to be in here.
Right. Okay. So they'll go in the other room. I'm creating
a
stack.
So let's make another room pile.
Yep.
I mean, even let's face it, the Happiness Project can go in the other room.
Yep.
As important as it is. These can go. One of these, we have two copies of the same books. Best Exotic Baby Names. This we need here in this office because we use this constantly for character.
Okay, see, that's important. That's what belongs on an active shelf.
And then we'll know it's there, which is your whole point.
Yes.
And then those you just found sort of our stationery stash.
Yeah.
Like we like to have cards available so we can write thank you notes, so we can quickly have a birthday card.
Right.
That's, I would say, an active thing, right?
So, and is that what this whole box is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gretch, while you're here, though, I have to show you one thing I'm very proud of.
This is a very Karen Craft accomplishment.
This is... Sarah designed this, of course. Our stationery with both our names.
Ooh, beautiful.
Elizabeth Craft, Sarah Fain stationery.
That is very cool.
And we got it 100 years ago.
We've had it since 2007. And we still use it.
Yes. You still use
and
it.
It's
okay.
Still nice.
Okay. So this is, I think, an easy win, morale booster. Looking at this posted thing that's got a bunch of files in it, this looks like it's old show scripts. From old episodes of Happier in Hollywood. You don't need to keep this. So we can just toss all this.
Okay. All those papers are going in the recycling.
Okay. So that's going to be a huge morale booster. Now you've got all these surfaces. And a really great thing to do is just to keep a surface clear. And ta-da, this is a bunch of makeup, which now we have a place to put because you have cleared makeup. So let's we'll move all that there. And then you've got a lot of office supplies. You've got like mugs of pens all over your office. Do you like to have it that way because you're sitting in different places and you want pens? Or would it actually be easier to consolidate?
I still feel like we never have pens.
It's true.
Oh, okay.
It is
so
true.
How can we have
mugs of pens and no pens?
I know. So
so you like
to... You know why I think it is, though? It's because we have so much clutter that the mugs of pens are sort of buried and we don't realize they're there. So if we clear the surfaces, keep a mug of pens, we'll see that it's there.
Right. Yeah. Good. So we'll leave them there, but we're going to clean off everything around them. Same thing with staplers. I can spot 5 staplers.
We get very paranoid about not having
Having a stapler. Okay. Okay. So you have your donate box. You have your store in the other place. Now, one of the things, and then there's just like things like over here by this phone. You guys have a lot of hand lotion. stuff. It's just like there's... Like a little post sticky note pad. What is this?
That's a whiteboard eraser.
Oh, so that's important. So that or do you use that or do you actually use the eraser?
But this we should just throw away, right?
Yeah, that's basically. So that's an old used up hand cream thing. here's like salt and pepper. Shouldn't this go? You've got all your food area
in the kitchen.
So, but again, part of it is I think when you've cleared off all these surfaces, it'll be more obvious that things need to be put away.
Yeah.
And so one thing, and this is in the manifesto, the Outer Order Inner Call manifesto, which is on people. If you want it, you can get it from my site, GretchenRubin.com and resources. It's easier to keep up than to catch up. And so once you have this whole, and you have these cool bright red side tables, they really pop. Once it's cleared off, I think then you're like, oh, the salt and pepper shakers are in the wrong place. Mm. Let's put them away. And you can keep up. But once everything's messy, everything just sort of stays where it is.
Yeah.
And then that's when you can't find your pens.
Yeah. And like with our goal for the year to be explode, we just want our office to look, we're going to have a lot of meetings. Like a lot is going to be going on in here. We don't want it to look cluttered and unprofessional.
Okay. So here's my, you're both obligers.
Yeah.
And so maybe one thing to think about is we want to be able to present, just like we talk about clothes and like presenting yourself professionally. It's like, mm-hmm. we want to feel like anytime somebody comes in here, best foot forward. It's part of explode is that you need to, you know, dress out of the athleisure and you need to like put away the salt and pepper shakers. And so let it be that outer accountability that works for obligers, which is you're not doing it for yourselves. You're doing it because this is what you need to do kind of as your professional identities for each other, for the team, for, you know,
and we've
team
even happy. Talked on Happier in Hollywood about how your office does say a lot about you and your level of confidence and taste.
Right.
And right now our office is not saying anything good about us.
And we have all the stuff. Like we have these really cool posters that are just propped against the wall.
Well, another thing is you do have accidental stockpiling. And again, I think stockpiling, it looks like hand lotion. Like people keep thinking, oh, we should have some hand lotion. And then you end up with like 15, where then if you just had one that it was always where you knew you could get it, then you could just have one.
Right.
And also, and then office supplies. Like I see, again, with the staplers, scotch tape, packing tape. Do you have a basket or something that we could put on this newly cleared out bookcase where it's all
go like in the Mary area? Like, you know, like there's, we don't even need it here.
So again, that's something. So we'll put that in put in another room pile. Mm-hmm. So part of it is like, let things go where they live.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So our office is like back to what it always should have been. Yes. And now all we need is Gretchen to come through LA like every 3 months.
Okay.
To reset.
Yes.
Let's be honest. It's not going to stay exactly like this.
Yeah. Then it wouldn't be any fun for me. But if people want advice about how to use their tendency in clearing clutter, like talking about you guys and obligers, there's also at GretchenRubin.com/resources. There's something about the four tendencies in clutter. And we've talked about a lot of ideas from Outer Order, Inner Calm. And I should just mention that if people want to read an excerpt to see if they want to read the whole book, they can read it on my site too.
Gretchen, thanks for helping us clear our clutter.
Thank you for letting me have the most fun. I love clearing other people's clutter.
We've already talked about you coming to my house, but that's another trip.
Yeah, another trip.
Coming up, we've got a flip-flop hack, but first this break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, Liz, now it's time for Take a Hike, in which we talk about mental, physical, or spiritual health. And today it is mental health. How we all deal with public opinion.
Yes. So we have chosen, and Gretchen, you have chosen, careers that involve public opinion. Sometimes it's approval, sometimes it's opprobrium. Your books, obviously, you know, you will get reviews and get critics' reviews. Our shows get reviewed. The podcasts also get reviewed.
Yes.
So we are all like, people say a lot of nice things to us, and that's wonderful. But sometimes people's opinions are not so positive.
Well, and because of something called the negativity bias, we remember much more clearly and have seared into our eyeballs much more permanently the negative things. It's very easy to skip over 100 great reviews, and then it's the one negative review is the one that haunts us.
Yeah. Yes. And in case anyone is wondering what kind of reviews, look, first off, say we've gotten a lot of great reviews for the fix.
A lot of great reviews.
And I agree with all of those people. But
those people are so smart.
They know what television.
They really
they understand what they're talking about. But let's just give a sample of some of the negative reviews we've been dealing with lately.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay. This is from the Las Vegas Review Journal. The title of it was Marcia Clark Prosecutes OJ Again in Clunky ABC Drama, The Fix. And it says, should The Fix somehow earn a second season, where would it possibly go? Perhaps one season, Seve could be arrested during a misguided attempt to reclaim some of his memorabilia. That seems unlikely, though, given that the series plays out like a clunky compilation of all the things you wish you'd said on the way home from an altercation.
And then somebody else said, the pilot episode is painfully boring. A series like this should start with a bang and slowly reveal the exposition as it goes. Instead, you get a full 60-minute episode of introductions to 9 characters, putting you to sleep in the process. ABC is going to have a tough time getting audiences to get over the show's debut blunder. But those who make it to the last scene might be left wanting more.
And then, Sarah, this was from our hometown trade, The Hollywood Reporter.
Lovely.
The headline was, ABC's odious legal drama tries to rewrite the O.J. Simpson murder case from the perspective of its failed prosecutors. They say, even if you could stomach the unctuous slime trailing from the show's conceit, its witless execution is another stopper. The Fix is your typical cheesy, sun-soaked ABC melodrama, but one left out so long to bleach that its brain is completely zapped. And that was the nice part.
Well, I do agree that it's a melodrama.
I agree with that. The rest of it, you know, our opinion might not match that.
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, since we're talking about kind of how we deal with these things, one way is just by paying more attention to the positive ones, which far outweighed these. When I read stuff like this, sometimes, like the last one, like when it's just so sort of personally vicious, it sort of loses legitimacy to me. If it's just sort of like bile on a page,
right?
I can't really feel hurt by it because it doesn't seem as legitimate, to be honest.
Right. And in our opinion, some of the people aren't necessarily getting the show. And if they saw more episodes, they would not think it was a retelling of the O.J. Simpson case. It's just not.
Right.
And that is, in our opinion, that would be obvious.
Yeah. Which to me also goes to it's sort of what they're bringing into it, not what they're actually seeing on the screen.
Yes.
And the boring thing, I'm just like, we've watched the pilot a lot. We know it's not boring.
Yes.
You may have many legitimate criticisms, but if you're saying it's boring, I just can't go with you on that.
Now, Sarah, sometimes we even agree with reviewers. Like someone gave us a lot of grief over Maya's boyfriend being named River Allgood, which when you say it like that, it does sound like maybe a soap opera name.
Yeah.
But of course, we named him after a friend of ours. So to us, it did not seem like a soap opera name.
Yes. We don't think it's silly at all.
But
because it's Jean's last name. She's been on the podcast.
Yes. But we had to laugh at that.
I know. Gretchen, you deal with this also. But you have a slightly different approach to our sort of like take the slings and arrows approach. And then cry.
Right. Well, so I have to say I don't read them at all because I can't take it.
So do you not read good ones either?
You know, it's actually in the kind of the age of the internet, it's hard to completely insulate myself from it. But I try very hard not to read any review, anything written about me or my work at all, whether it's good or bad. And it used to be that I felt like it was almost an obligation to read it because like I could learn from it. Mm. But what I found was that I was learning all the wrong things from it. Like I have people in my life who are thoughtful critics. Like, I open myself up to a lot of criticism, and I really work hard on taking thoughtful criticism from people who are, like, really care and are interested and whose judgment I respect. Yeah. But what I realized is that because of the negativity bias, because of the way this just gets like burned into your brain, that it was making me defensive and kind of fixing all the wrong problems. Because like 400 people could love the fix and one person doesn't like it. And that's what you remember. And so then you're kind of, you're redirecting yourself in all the wrong ways. It's like, I felt like it was getting in my head and making and changing what I was creating in a way that wasn't helpful. I'm like, I need to stay open and warm-hearted and not defensive and vulnerable and all these things. And so I was like, I just can't do that and read this criticism. And I didn't feel like it was serving any purpose. It wasn't making me better. I thought it was making me worse, and it was definitely making me fragile.
Well, I know one example where it's actually something happened because of criticism, which is that someone told you they didn't like your voice reading. You're doing an Audible book.
Yeah.
And so for Happier at Home, you were like, okay, well, I'll hire someone to read it. I won't read it. But of course, the vast majority of your audience, I mean, the overwhelmingly vast majority wants to hear you read it.
Yes. And so you respond to the wrong, wrong thing. Yeah. It's the wrong input. Well, and like somebody on the podcast was like, I don't like your laugh. And I was like, okay, well, what do you want me to do? Like, am I going to go to a laughing coach? Yeah. Do I not laugh? It's a podcast about happiness. I mean, I'm like, I'm sorry you don't like my laugh. I mean, so I think that especially when you're doing something creative like we are, you really do. And you talk about this on the podcast all the time. You have to stay open to other people's ideas. You have to be willing to take input. But I think there's a difference between somebody who you really trust their judgment and you think that they're making thoughtful suggestions, and someone who's maybe just, like you say, taking drive-by pot shots and sort of enjoying coming up with every like great negative adjective that they can come up with.
Yeah.
And then, but it gets in your head.
You know what's
interesting? It gets in your head.
Yes, it does. But what's interesting about what you're saying that I think is maybe something that helps insulate us. When we read these things, we're not like, oh, ha ha.
No.
I mean, it does sting. Oh, it hurts.
Oh, my stomach churns and my, I'm like, I'm going to pass out.
Like, I texted Liz when I first glanced at the Hollywood Reporter thing that it was heart-poundingly vicious.
Yes.
And my heart was really pounding. But, you know, 20 minutes later, I'm fine for the most part. But I think part of that is because of what you're saying about having people around you. Like, our work is so
collaborative.
And there are all these people who we work with every day from the studio, from the network.
Yeah.
Like, we get so much input and feedback and notes and, like, through the whole process that I think it helps us when someone kind of outside is saying stuff like this. I'm like, well, no, we have, we've workshopped this, you know, like in an extreme way.
Well, also one thing is, and maybe it helps because there's two of you, is you guys are good at like quickly getting to a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And I think that's funny. If you can see the funny part or laugh about it, it really does draw the sting out of it. And so I do feel like being able to be like, ha, 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 you know, that helps. And you guys both do keep a sense of humor.
And I mean, for me, the thing that helps the most is like, I'm just happy to be out there having something someone's talking about. I mean, I was texting my friend Gage, like, oh, well, we're odious.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, I wish someone would call me odious. No one bothers to call me odious.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
And I really, like, of course, I want everyone to love everything we do. That would be ideal.
That would be nice.
If we can't have that, I'd rather have some people like it and some people hate it rather than just have nothing.
Well, so this is something that I remind myself of a lot. And I often will remind other people as well because it's so helpful to me, which is to remind myself that a strong voice repels as well as attracts.
Mm.
And if you're going to really try to do something well, some people are going to not like it because it's not what they like. And you think of anyone who's like the biggest superstar creator, there's a dedicated group of people who parody it, make fun of it, you know, and really, you know, there's a whole thing in literature where, you know, in the literary world where they'll post like the negative reviews and that like Hemingway got and the Virginia Woolf, you know what I mean? It's like nobody's free from this. So a strong voice repels as well as attracts. If you try to create something that everyone's going to love, it's probably going to be so bland and so lowest common denominator that no one's going to particularly enjoy it. It's like, you know, it's like the music playing in the background of the grocery store. It's like no one loves it. It's just there.
Yeah. The last thing we want to do is not swing for the fences for fear of people saying mean things.
Well, and that's part of it, because I think with creativity, you do have to take risks, and risks open you up to, like, that's when people can really criticize you.
You know what's interesting about criticism? I think it's harder for the people who care about you than it is for us personally.
Yeah, like I really am just, I'm like, but the fix is so great. I want to go. Like, shut these people down.
You know, when it's us, we're like, well, and by the way, we've taken so much criticism in our career.
But that's kind of your job. You say that's your job, is to be criticized.
To be able to just roll with it.
Yeah. And I'm honestly like, I'm just so happy to be where we are now, where we can take a hard punch to the face and get back up.
Yes, we can move on.
Yeah. You know, we've just, you go with it.
Well, what my husband Jamie tells me, and this is very much to your point, Elizabeth, is whenever I'm complaining about something like this, he says, very gently, he says it in a nice way, he says, well, this is what you wanted.
That's true.
You know, he's like, you wanted to put your ideas out in the world and to engage with people, or like, let's say they said, okay, well, we're going to take your show off the air. Now you have no negative criticism. It's like, that'd be much, much worse.
Yeah,
it's like,
that's true.
It's like, this is what you wanted. Yeah. This is how it looks.
Yes. Mom pointed that out to me. She said, you and Gretchen both chose careers where, you know, you're putting yourself out there. And if you put yourself out there, people will take shots.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
Yeah. But so I guess one thing is to just ignore it, which is what I do. I think the other thing is what you guys do, which is put it in context. And try to have a sense of humor about it. And just to remember, you know, this is part of the job.
Yeah. This is what we wanted.
This is what you wanted.
This is what we wanted.
It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it.
Yes.
Even when it's odious. Right.
Okay, Liz, now it's time for this week's Hollywood hack, which comes from you. Okay. It was so amazing. Go with it. Take it away.
Okay. It's keep your flip-flops in your bag. Okay.
And but then you have to do the context.
Okay.
For this
the context
hack. It was so
great. This is Sarah and I had a meeting yesterday that was across the lot.
Oh, I know exactly
quite
where this is going.
Now, we have had meetings in this building 30 times, 40 times. I always wear nice shoes, often heels. And I always say, oh, it's just a quick walk there and back. It's not going to hurt my feet. I'll be fine. And every time when we on the way back, I'm hobbling, feet
walking
bleeding,
barefooted,
walking
holding your
barefoot.
Shoes.
And yesterday I said, you know what? I'm going to bring a big enough purse that I can put flip-flops in the purse, zip the purse, and no one will know I have these flip-flops. So I very comfortably walk to the building in my flip-flops, open my bag, tuck them in, zipped it, put on my heels, and, you know, walked beautifully into the office where we were having a meeting without hobbling. And Sarah was like, how are we just discovering this now?
Because, like, it's not like your bag is gigantic. You weren't, like, walking in with,
like
an overnight
a huge tote bag.
It's just your regular purse, but flip-flops are small.
And
just
light.
Slip them in. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, so I have to say, in New York City, this is a very common thing because people are often taking the subway or you have to, like, you get off at the end of an avenue and you end up having to walk the whole length. And so it's very common, like, if you go around a building, you'll see a woman standing there, like, balanced on one foot, slipping on her,
funny.
Yeah. And so it's, like, and it's just, like, a thing. And if somebody catches you, you're like, oh, I'm just getting ready for the meeting. You know, I went to a ladies' luncheon and it was just like a row of people switching their shoes.
Oh, really? Because I always think of in New York about the sneakers. You know, people carry these big sneakers. And I think the revelation to us was that you can use small shoes.
Yes.
I have to point out Rothy's would be perfect for this.
I have used my Rothy's for exactly that. Because it needs to be something light and something that can fit into a
narrow.
Compact.
Yes. So, I mean, this is a game changer for me.
Wait, can I just remember when we were at a party together and you were wearing your fabulous boots? You were in so much pain walking to the end of the avenue that it's seared into my head.
Yes.
Yes. I wish we'd had a pair of flip-flops for you to fire up.
Oh, my gosh. That was torture. Yeah. So now I'm going to just be on a hunt for ever smaller shoes to fit in ever smaller bags.
And I'm going to get a pair of Rothy's.
Okay.
They're supposed to be great.
They are.
Right? Okay. And that's it for this episode of Happier in Hollywood. For questions or comments, email us or send us a voice memo to happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening and please subscribe if you haven't already.
Thank you to our executive producer, the amazing Chuck Reed, and everyone at Sankola Sound. You can follow them on Instagram @SankolaSound. Thanks to everyone at Cadence 13.
And thank you to our assistant, Mary Merkins.
And a very special thanks to Gretchen Rubin for joining us to celebrate our 100th episode.
And to tackle the clutter fest that was formerly our office.
Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project.
And thank you so much to our listeners. We appreciate you more than we can say.
Yes, and thank you for all your feedback, especially the nice feedback.
Get in touch. I'm on Instagram at SVain and Liz is at Liz Craft. We also have a Facebook group. Search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook to join in on the conversation.
Until next week, I'm Liz Craft.
And I'm Sarah Fain.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin.
Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it.
That was really good. I think people are fascinated
by this topic. Now, we didn't talk about other people, but I guess that's
okay. This is what you wanted. Personal. We need to have a sign made that says, this is what you wanted.
Oh, my God. That's our next sign.
Oh, yeah.
From the Onward Project.